Live from the Gregory Ricks and Associates Wealth Management Studios, this is News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
Welcome. Winning at Life. The Daily Wrap. Live Financial Talk Radio. I'm your host, Gregory Ricks. A couple things I have to comment about. I'm going to share a gold story, and it's a twist on it today for you. I think that'll be illuminating.
I'm your co-host, James Parker, coming up on the show as well. We're going to continue a few storylines that we've been following. Amazon HQ2, Sears. Did the market break another record? I think this would be the 53rd record-breaking close in the Dow, if it happened. So we'll find that out in the number segment if you want to play along. GregoryRicks.com under the Winning It Live tab. You can pull up the numbers page. If you have a financial situation, feel free to interrupt at any time. We'll have a chat, see if we can help you out. 504-260-0995. You can also send us a text message via the Gregory Ricks and Associates app. You can come watch us live and or leave a comment on the Facebook live feed we got going over there. Look for Winning It Life on Facebook. We also have the Winning It Life VIP group. And they're pumping away the hearts already. God bless them on Periscope. Thanks, guys. We're on Periscope at Gregory Ricks. Now, did you want to start with the Trump audio? Or did you did? All right.
I do.
Okay, so we had
a lot of it. We're not covering it all, and we'll tell you later where to go if you like to hear every word uttered.
Right, and this is kind of cool because today the news was the deliberations informally begin for another round in the tax reform proposal, and this is kind of a nice summary of what's leading up to it. We brought you a little bit of a preview on Friday and Saturday, on Saturday's show. I guess we have to revisit that because we haven't done it on the Daily Wrap just yet. But there was talk of a fifth bracket. What are the brackets as they are now? 15, 25, 35?
I thought there was three brackets.
Well, if you count the zero, there's four brackets. And so they're thinking about adding another one for the Richie Richest. So here's that.
In the sense of this fifth bracket, I mean, if you do a fifth bracket, is that $1 million? Is it $2 million? What's the number?
I don't think we'll use a fifth bracket. I only want to use a fifth bracket if for any reason I feel the middle class is not getting as much as I thought they would or as much as they're entitled to. They're entitled to a lot. This is about the middle class. It's really about the middle class and about jobs. And if I feel that the middle class is not getting what I want them to get, and that's going to be a lot because I want them to get really a lot, then I'm going to do a fifth bracket, which will give them more.
I thought he was fixing it. I want them to have a wonderful tax experience. You know how he talks.
It'll be the most magnificent tax cut. This will be the greatest tax cut in the history of America. I mean, that's what he's calling it already. The greatest tax cut in the history of America.
That's what I thought right there. I just want them to have a wonderful, magnificent tax bracket. So if we need to, for them to have that, we will.
Well, you know, it's really cool. Something we talked about on Saturday came to fruition. What one of our reactions, because they put a little preview of this interview on Wall Street Week Friday night, so we had it on Saturday morning show. If you miss the show, get the Gregory Ricks and Associates app. We were talking about how if it's not going to be good enough for the middle class, well, we already know the bottom 60% of income taxpayers pay a single-digit percent of the taxes. There can be no great tax cut for the middle class. There can only be a significant tax cut for those who are in the upper middle class and above. Really, once you get out of that $100,000 range, that's when the taxes really start flowing in. And what did we say on Saturday? Well, one of the things we said on Saturday is, why doesn't anyone want to defend the rich? Why, just because, I mean, you're not even rich, you have a high income year, that does not make you a rich person. This may be one of two or three years where you actually score. What's the big deal? Why is everyone okay with kicking the high-income earners around? Well, politically speaking, it's because there's not a lot of them. But Maria did ask Trump that exact same question that aired on the interview over the weekend.
If the top earners pay 80% of the taxes, why are you so afraid to cut taxes on the top earners?
I think this. Look, you know, I am very happy with the way I've done prior to this in my civilian life. All right?
This is not about
other
you.
People. Well, it's about me representing rich people. Let's say representing, you know, being representative of rich people. It's very interesting to me. Bob Kraft was down. He was very nice. He owns the Patriots. He gave me a Super Bowl ring a month ago. And he left.
Putin shook his,
and he,
right?
Which was very nice. Yeah, that's right. But he left this beautiful ring, and I immediately give it to the White House, and they put it someplace, and that's the way it is. But he said to me, he's a good man, he said to me, you have to do us all a favor. Give the tax decrease to the middle class. We don't need it. We don't need it. We don't want it. Give it to the middle class. And I've had many people, very wealthy people, tell me the same thing. I've had very few say, I want more, I want more. They really want to see, you know, the middle class has really not done very well over the last long period of time. And so when Paul mentions maybe one more category, which I'd rather not have, it may not happen. But the only reason I would have, and he does say this, he's very plain on what he said, is if for any reason I feel the middle class is not being properly taken care of.
So that's how he keeps framing it. What do you think of that, Gregory?
I did a couple searches on the middle class because I want to know, what is the middle class? Well, online, the dictionary, middle class says the social group between upper and working classes, including professionals and business workers and their families. So I went to CNN Money, you know, the Clinton News Network, some refer to it as, and I asked about the middle class, and then they give you an income range, and it's basically 46,000 to 140,000. But there was another graph that I went to on CNN Money. Are you in the middle class? And then it asked me to pick an income range, and I picked, say, what would you pick? Middle class income range, if you had your preference. I picked 101,000 to ask the question.
Oh, wow. I would have to pick.
What do you think a middle class income is, family?
Well, see, you're asking me where's the dividing line between middle class and upper class, and I think that's at more like $200,000, if not $300,000. Look, if you're making $140,000, you're middle class. You don't have a limo, you don't have a chauffeur, you don't have a butler, you don't use summer as a verb. That's middle class, $140,000. Especially if you live in, you know, Midtown Manhattan, okay. You're a pauper.
I did two looks. I did Jefferson Parish, Louisiana.
Interesting.
$101,000 on income, and it said it was 32 to 93,000. It says, oh, you're not in the middle class. 101,000, you're above it. So then I went and stretched out to our listening audience on down I-10 past Mississippi, takes us to
Mobile, Alabama.
Mobile, Alabama. And again, it says you are not in the middle class in Mobile County. It's 28,500 to $84,556. So we're not in it in Jefferson Parish. I could have went to Biloxi, but you know what it's going to say? It's going to be somewhere similar to Mobile there. So we're running across the coastline. 101,000 doesn't get you in the middle class. Do you think the family earning 101,000 thinks they're in the upper echelon?
No, not in the least.
Not in the least. So I thought that was, because when he's talking about the middle class, I'm like, where is that?
Well, if you're at the page.
I think it has to be a higher number than 101,000.
Yeah, and the numbers she referred to where she said the upper income earners pay 80% of the taxes, that's the top quintile, the top 20% of earners. So where's that? Where's the top quintile of earners? Because that seems to be where, when they're just throwing these numbers around, this is where any political support for you drops off if you're in that top quintile. There's no one fighting for you. And I'm over here saying just about the opposite. I'm over here saying those are the people that need a tax cut the most. If we're going to take money out of the hands of the goobers like Paul Ryan and Nancy Pelosi and Mitch McConnell and Harry Reid and, well, I guess it's now Chuck Schumer and all them, that's going to be money that comes from this upper quintile. So I would rather it go to the guy down the street who makes $200,000 and he gets to decide how it's spent in my neighborhood rather than it go to D.C. and they get to go flush it away on a shrimp on a treadmill or a solar panel or name failed program here.
You know, I went to Investopedia trying to find out where is the middle class, and it kind of gives you discussions of what the upper middle class is or upper income class, and I'm not getting what I think is it's dangerous ground. The middle class and lower middle class. And Investopedia defines it as the upper middle class turns out to be a synonym for the wealthy. Okay, that's not what we're looking for. Census Bureau says 41.5 of American households brought in between $35,000 and $100,000 in 2015. 26% of American households brought in more than that and 32% less. So once again, 35 to 100 where I picked out and I
101,
just
right.
And I just picked out 101. It was a scale I was pulling across and stopped. You know, what is the average American family? 2.5 kids?
Yes.
Husband and a wife?
Mm-hmm.
Bringing in $100,000? After taxes, what? 75 left?
That's still the group that they're going to be kicking in the teeth when they go after the quote-unquote rich people. And the million, who cares about a fifth bracket? How many people, honestly, get a salary of over $1 million? We're talking movie people, athletes, you know, musicians. But there's not people who are someone else's employee.
You know, that's neighborhood $6,000 a month income. Kids.
You talking about the edge of middle class there?
Yeah, on that edge, when you take $100,000 back off taxes, more or less net $75,000, but they're not netting that because they're trying to push some money in the 401k. They've got the kids, they've got health insurance that's being deducted from the pay, so they're not bringing home $6,000 a month.
You know, so based on our conversation for the last 4 minutes, a lot of our evaluation of this tax plan is going to depend on where they put those brackets. And until we have that, I have to reserve, you know, final judgment.
And who brought that up last week on Maria's show?
Oh,
they didn't define the brackets. Yeah.
Yeah.
Where are the brackets going to be?
He also said significant tax reform's a pipe dream.
That was a powerful piece you played.
504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. It's Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. You're listening to iHeartRadio.
Listening to Winning at Life. By doing so, you have joined an elite demographic of people who tend to be more successful in their careers, have higher levels of education, and are generally winners. James Parker here. Wouldn't you like to get the message out about your awesome business to tens of thousands of other winners 6 days a week from Baton Rouge to Pensacola? Be on the winning team. Ask me about advertising, reasonable rates, a handsome spokesman, and an army of winners. Email james@gregoryricks.com.
Gregory Ricks here. I enjoy fast cars, so I go to NOLA Motorsports Park in Avondale. It's the ultimate getaway for me because it's hard to worry about business, radio, stress when I'm going 135 miles an hour in a straightaway, and then I have to slow down to about 60 in a few seconds to make that right-hand turn. Oh, the adrenaline. See what they're all about at NOLAMotor.com. Caroline or Change opens this weekend at the Westwego Performing Arts Theater. Do something new for a date night. Come see a Broadway hit about 60s Louisiana performed by local talent and experience some real culture. Caroline or Change, Friday and Saturday at 7:30, Sunday at 2. For tickets, call 504-885-2000, the JPAS app or jpas.org.
If you've got a financial situation and you're not quite sure what to do, you better call Gregory.
I got about 150 grand in my 401k, and I just want to take my money out and buy rent houses with it.
That is an expensive proposition because that's taxable money coming out of your plan. You're going to get whacked. You're going to give up $40,000. Somewhere in there, you're taking a pretty good hit.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. Weeknights at 7, Saturday morning at 10 on News Talk 99.5 WRNO. The Ricks Report with Gregory Ricks.
A few weeks ago, I had a discussion with a fella, and actually had already turned on Social Security at 64, and then he was giving me some math about, well, I don't break even until I'm 90. And I said, I don't know what math you're using. And he said, Social Security and I sat down and went over. It means a clerk there. And I said, if you deferred from 62 to 66 in 4 months, it takes you about 9.5 years to break even if you turn it on at 66 in 4 months. So you cut that time in half because you've turned it on at 64. So let's call it 5 years. That's 71. That's not age 90. I don't know where they were getting math from. You're going to be able to make a decision, turn off at Social Security as if it never started and continue to defer.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. Weeknights at 7, Saturday morning at 10 on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
Find me at GregoryRicks.com, the Gregory Ricks and Associates app, or 504-832-9200.
Gregory Ricks on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
This time I'm going to make our dreams come true. Well, I love you more than anything in the world. Love your baby.
Welcome back. Winning at Life, the Daily Wrap. Live financial talk radio, which means you can participate. Hey, I wonder about your version of the middle class and who should pay their fair share. But we can talk about mutual funds, that lump sum, pension, what to do with that gold and silver. I'm teasing you on that story, but we're going to get it on the back half of the show. We're still on a roll with this middle class. 504, this is the number, 504-260-0995. So on the break, I wish you could listen to every minute of the show. Even on the break, this continues. We've got people on Facebook Live. What's that other one?
Periscope at Gregory Ricks.
Periscope at Gregory Ricks. And then, of course, Angie in the booth wants to sound in on this middle class range, and she was worried, like, what? I'm not even in the middle class. Oh, you're in the middle class, not on the upper side of it, but maybe so. I don't know. I don't deal with what Angie has going on, but she is a little concerned there. But if you're on the lower,
the numbers.
Yeah,
right.
And that's 30. What we've defined it, and we've gone to CNN and such, so we don't want to be off. You know, we could have went to some other sites that are more conservative, and maybe it'd have been larger. But we're fair. Can I say this?
And balanced.
And balanced.
I didn't know you were going to go there. But that's a guess.
Yeah. Well, you know what? We're fair. That's fair.
You know,
I don't want to go with that balance, but it used to be a catchphrase on one particular conservative news channel, but we're fair, and that's all we need to be. Is so we'll lean towards those that think it's this bracket. So, and we looked in a couple of different markets, and we come to this numbers around 35,000 to 100,000 is the middle class number. Now, if you're on the lower end of that, when you think about it, like, oh, I'm not paying that. You know, what I'm wondering is how we're going to cut the taxes on those. You know, when they're making 40, you know, they're in a 15% tax bracket. Capital gains tax, they're probably not paying any after standard deduction or anything. So you have 0% tax on capital gains, and you say, well, they don't have enough money to invest. Hey, might surprise you. maybe that's their advantage on catching up, is in some good investment decisions that they don't have to pay taxes on. Think about it. But once again, yeah, there's not a lot of disposable income there. Okay, and when standard deduction, I thought they're, 5 to 10%. James said, what do you think their tax bracket is?
10%, maybe 15.
Well, I thought you said lower. That was me. On the lower middle class.
Oh, on the lower middle class, married, filing jointly, probably zero.
Yeah.
If you got a couple kids, it's probably, look, I have four kids, and I'm,
and definitely no capital gains tax there either on their small investment portfolio. There might be self-directing.
Well, that investment
there,
property
but on
they
that upper
sold.
Side, then, you know, I know you've got a couple of friends that do well, but don't think they do all that, and they think they're in the middle class, but where are they?
Well, according to CNN, according to some of these others, they're in the upper class. They're in the part of the small, little, non-politically protected group of people
that
deserve
about
to
it.
Be held down and
you're
beat
each
up.
Holding a job, and you're making $60,000. And we know they're both making more than that. So that puts them at $120,000, and they're like above the middle class, but they're thinking like, yeah, they should pay their fair share, and it's them.
Yeah, and so then
they're probably making actually upwards of $200,000, but they think they're middle class.
The irony is these are two of me and Miss Parker's bestest friends in the entire world, and they love taxes. They love the idea of, you know, people paying their fair share and got to give the little guy a break, and this guy's not paying enough, and we need to help him and do it at his expense, and they need to pay more. So, okay, well, cool. Rich people need to pay more than they're paying right now. You agree to that? Yeah. High income earners need to pay more than they're paying right now. It's only fair, right? It's only ethical, right? All right. Well, you're in that group. So how much extra did you pay above and beyond your legitimate tax bill? There's a line on the form that you can fill out to send extra money to the Treasury. How much did you
put? There's a form for that.
Yeah. How much did you put in that form? How much did y'all send extra? Oh, no. Oh, you thought that just applied to somebody else. They're talking about you. They're talking about a lot of people who don't think that they're being talked. Yeah, let's go get them pay their fair share. Well, once you get the bill for that, it's too late. And I don't want to get the bill for it, too. And I just don't understand. Why not starve the government? What's the problem with that? Oh, well, then it's going to blow up the deficit. Well, then I guess you are going to have to cut some spending, aren't you?
Now, do you want to delve into what do we think the middle class is? Because I don't really agree with those numbers. I think the bottom is higher, and I think the top is much higher.
It's so weird to even try and do this because we're doing this based on an income number. But what about someone who made $3 million last year and he's working on his next project, so he has some investments going, and he made absolutely zero this year? By the government's calculations, he's in poverty. He could live.
Yeah, he is.
I know. And that's what so many of these people that are, quote, living in poverty, a lot of them are retirees, which have set themselves up with a beautiful lifestyle. But since their income is under the threshold, they're considered, oh, well, this is another household in poverty, even though they live a better life than myself and Miss Parker. So we don't have a whole lot of true poverty going here. It's exaggerated what we do have. The people who actually do live under the poverty line actually live a standard of living that billionaires would have been jealous of 100 years ago or so. But that doesn't stop any of the people who love taxes. They love them, Gregory. So where does it go? Where's your middle class?
It's above 32. 32 doesn't get it done. You can't. How do you figure you're in middle class making 32, 35,000? You're not.
See,
it's just I'm kind of 50. You got to at least be 50, maybe 60,000 to 200,000, maybe 250s the middle class.
Well, I can put dents in that because there's another variable we're missing. It's not just how much money did you make this year, and I mentioned your accumulated wealth from years past.
You're adding in retirees and all this. I'm more, let's define the demographic. I think it's earned income, though, workers, working families. Not the retirees, not the billionaire that's just sucking off income off of his great assets and working under the bracket because it's all paid for.
I'm going the other way, though. I'm going a guy that's 20 years old. If he's making 35 grand, he's in great shape. Good job. Right? So that would be middle class for 20-year-old James. I'd have been pretty happy with 35 grand.
I do think single people are unfairly taxed because they're not married.
Or kids. The kids thing is ridiculous, even though I support the idea we need to incentivize more childbirth. The more Americans, the better the world gets, I've kind of noticed. But Parker at 40, 35 grand, that's not going to cut it. Parker married with four kids, that's poverty. That is a poverty wage.
You could double it and it still doesn't work.
But if I have a successful career and I make a bunch of money and then I'm just kind of keep working just so I don't let my life go lax and I'm making 35 grand, that's not the same thing as a 40-year-old with four kids making 35 grand. I would consider that guy middle class. So is 35 grand middle class? Could be. Depends on your age and other external factors. But for me right now, no. See, it's a mess. You can't really put individuals in a big collective box that easy. This is one of the other reasons I lean flat tax. You get a standard deduction.
Oh, we're getting there. It's just going to take another couple generations there. But, yeah, when we start looking at it and what it is, everybody has different views, and especially those on the upper side or above it think they're in it and they're above it.
Let's do another cut from Trump's interview with Bartiromo. You know what? Forget all this income tax stuff. You know where the real savings has been, the real tax cut has been? Repealing regulations.
If you look at what I've done between regulations, I've cut more regulations in 9 months than any president has cut during the entire term that they're in. Nobody's
You're
cut
better
regulations.
Than President Bush. I mean, the federal pages are down 30% under your leadership.
Well, and by the way, I've just begun because it was
so there's more regulation.
Well, there's a lot more. I mean, really a lot more. I mean, I think I can double it before it's over, but a lot of it's statutory where you have to give a 90-day notice and then you have to give 120-day. We've given those notices. I mean, we're going to be doing a lot more. But
there you go. I think he's right. That's basically a tax cut. You agree with that?
I do.
Yeah, that's money that would have otherwise spent because of the actions of government. Most of that would have gone to government. And there's just another expense that was lifted. It frees up the money. I'm glad they're not talking about it, though. You know why? Because if they were talking about it in the news, they would have mobilized half of the population to fight against it and cry about it and have protests about it. And I'm glad you're not talking about it. Let all this stuff just happen under the radar. Y'all are too busy worried about who called who a funny name or who's a racist or who hates women or who whatever. I'm glad they're missing all this because this actually helps a lot of people.
I totally agree. We've got way too much noise being paid attention to that doesn't matter. But deregulation is huge out there. And it's more about let's be business centric instead of like, oh, it took a village to build that ice cream company.
Yeah, $38 billion already in saved compliance costs from the regulations that were lifted just this year. So I'm a big fan of that. Let's keep that going. Financial situations, bring them on, 504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. You're listening to Winning It Live with Gregory Ricks on iHeartRadio.
Life invites you to our Women and Wealth event, Thursday, November 2nd, Ruth's Chris Steakhouse in Metairie. This women's-only event will include a unique dining experience of wine tasting paired with the presented Ruth's Chris menu. In addition to this educational food and wine experience, you will also meet the Total Wealth Authority, the team to handle all your retirement needs. Reserve your seat today, 504-832-9200, the Gregory Ricks & Associates app, or GregoryRicks.com.
Mortgage Gumbo with your chef, Dwayne Stein.
In the fourth quarter of last year, equity increased by a total in the U.S. of over $680 billion. That's a lot of equity being built, which is why you're seeing refinances are through the roof. You mix that in with the rates going down. We're doing a ton of those over here at Cross Country Mortgage.
Mortgage Gumbo with Dwayne Stein this Saturday at 1 on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
Gregory Ricks and Associates brings you the Total Wealth Authority, the team to handle all aspects of your money. Meet Tracy from Dwell Nola Realty.
It's good to learn the mistakes you can make because a lot of people start off investing and they fail at their first investment and then they get discouraged and then they don't want to continue. And it doesn't have to be that way.
The Total Wealth Authority. Summon us with the Gregory Ricks and Associates app, gregoryricks.com or 504-832-9200.
The National Council on Aging is the nation's leader of helping people 60 years and older meet the challenges of aging. They partner with nonprofit organizations, government, and businesses to provide services such as utility bill assistance, wellness and nutrition options, and many other everyday tasks that get more difficult with age. For more information on the National Council on Aging, call or visit your local branch. The Jefferson Council on Aging, 6620 Riverside Drive, Suite 216, Metairie, Louisiana, 504-888-5880.
My son Aiden has asthma. Secondhand smoke has triggered his asthma so badly, he ended up in the emergency room and spent multiple nights in intensive care. Now he's on a whole bunch of medications. My tip to you is, don't be shy about telling people not to smoke around your kids.
Half of U.S. kids are exposed to secondhand smoke. If you or someone you know wants help, call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and CDC.
The contents of this show are meant for educational and entertainment purposes only and is not meant to take place of your attorney, accountant, tax professional, personal trainer, football coach, interior decorator, or those fortune tellers at Jackson Square. Please consult a financial advisor before making all investment decisions.
Gregory Ricks and Associates is a registered investment advisory firm. If you'd like a copy of Form ADV, our full disclosures, call the office 504-832-9800 200 or go to gregoryricks.com.
May we all know that nothing ain't cool till you wear the new off the sound of a corduroy.
Big enough to deliver, small enough to care. Winning at life with Gregory Ricks on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
Racing music. Welcome back to Winning at Life. Let's see, National Auto Sports Association has an event out at NOLA Motorsports this coming weekend. If you'd like to take your daily driver out and for a spin, there's a really good straightaway on that racetrack out at NOLA Motorsports Park. I enjoy it immensely. Go to NOLA Motorsports Park. Is it? No, I'm sorry. NOLAMotorsports.com. And check out the events that are coming up. Might have a little fun. I'll be out there Sunday of this week. This is Live Financial Talk Radio. I'm your host, Gregory Ricks. And, oh, that was like one of my favorite racing songs. I always get kind of worked up like, oh, I want to floor it to, the, you know, pedal to the metal. Yeah. No braking unless we have to stop, you know.
See, that's how I feel when I play too much Grand Theft Auto. I get on the highway and I'm like, I could just slam you right in the median if you don't let me over. And it's like, oh, wait, no, I can't. Hang on. Grab the wheel.
That's James Parker. This is Live Financial Talk Radio. Call us and participate, 504-260-0995. So where are we on the Maria Bartiromo interview?
Corporate tax rates.
Bringing the corporate tax down, you know, maybe is the most important. And we have a lot of most importance, but bringing it down from 35 down to 20%, that's a massive, it was the biggest that we've ever done.
It's a big deal on the corporate rate, for sure.
It's a big deal for companies. It's a big deal for investment. I think one of the other ones is expensing. You know, when you write something off in 1 year, as opposed to, you know, over many years, I think that's going to be tremendous. We have so many things in this plan that are going to be for growth. And, you know, your next question is going to be deficits and all. And I fully understand.
There you go.
I think on this whole tax deal, where the big impact is the corporate tax and bringing money back from overseas. I'm sure that's a different little soundbite that you have. But I think that's the impact. Even if on the individual brackets, family, married, households, on those brackets, if there's not much movement, the real impact is on corporate.
The inversions, though, should be enough to get everyone else on board with that. And if you say, well, you know, they don't effectively pay the highest rate in the world after all the deductions and stuff. Well, you know what? Some of these corporations are. There are some corporations that don't have carried losses like GE had where they didn't pay for 7 years in a row. You know, and if you don't have a bunch of tax attorneys or you're doing everything right or God forbid you're successful, there are a lot of companies that are paying, if not the 39.6%, they're still paying something close, 35, 30. It's not competitive. If it is competitive, then why do we have corporate inversions?
And don't feel bad about GE avoiding taxes for 7 years. Look at their dadgum stock price recently. It's gone in the toilet. So don't go and think that, oh, well, they're like living the life of Riley. They're not. It's kind of ugly for them right now. So don't think that just because you can avoid taxes, everything works well. It's not going well for them.
Yeah, like I wouldn't expect Sears to be on the hook for much in the tax world the last few years either. In fact,
no, do they have profits at all?
Right. If they're not making money, what do you tax them on? Their losses? So Sears actually had some news come out today. They are ending another 100-year relationship. Sears will no longer be selling Whirlpool appliances. That is a relationship that dates back 100 years, Gregory. That's...
And I guess Whirlpool is heartbroken over that. They kind of said, yeah, your sales have really tanked to almost zero in the past few years.
Yeah. Oh, where are we going to sell all these other four dishwashers?
They're already selling them with Amazon and Best Buy and those that actually have businesses.
They are, they're just getting picked off bit by bit. Now, they don't own Whirlpool. Kenmore's their brand, right?
Right.
Their store brand.
You know, what... Could Whirlpool have been making Kenmore? Somebody's making the Kenmore because it's not Sears.
Yeah, and then slapping Kenmore on it?
Yeah.
So, oh, yeah, good point there.
But it is a brand they have, just like Die Hard and Craftsman Tools, which they already sold the tool company.
Well, let's get into the numbers then. You cool with that?
Yep.
The numbers. Hey, welcome to the numbers segment. If we're going to talk this much numbers, we might as well do the whole segment. Go to GregoryRicks.com under the Winning at Life tab. Pull up the numbers page. If you want to play along, you can look at the exact same charts and graphs we're looking at here. First things first, though, our major indices have been setting a lot of records as of late. Did the winning streak continue? Are they still running? There was a break yesterday from all the... yeah, you already looked. Gregory, of course you looked. That's your job. But yeah, records were set again.
It was out the gate this morning.
Yeah, so there was a big jump in after-hours trading. Any explanation for that? Because it opened a big leap up and then just kind of held that for most of the trading day.
Caterpillar, like, crushed it. You had these highly weighted stocks that really impact the Dow.
Of course,
GE, you know, it's price. The Dow is price weighted, so the higher price stocks are going to impact the index more. Of course, GE loses like every day now, but they're what, $21 a share, somewhere in that area. It's not impacting much their daily move down.
So the Dow is up about 170 points today, but you're right. You know, the Dow's only made up of 30 stocks. Two of them, the other one being 3M was the other one. They made up 170. Caterpillar and 3M made up 150 of the 170-point gain today. So it's almost all those two guys. But, hey, that's enough to make history. It was up 0.7%. Your new all-time closing historic high, 23,441, and then 76 after the decimal. The S&P was reaching for history, too. 2,569 points is where it finally settled down. A little bit of change there, up almost 0.2%. NASDAQ was up 0.2% as well. It got on the metal stand. Making history as well, 6,598.43. Russell was up 0.2%. Wilshire was up 0.1%. And a landmark was crossed on your 10-year treasuries, Gregory.
Oh, they moved up today. You had the market moving up and the yield moving up on 10-year treasuries. You ready? 2.416 5%. Nice run up and climb throughout the day.
Now, this is sort of a Maginot line. I love that term from Zero Hedge. They use that a lot. Because if you look at the chart here on the numbers page at GregoryRicks.com, the 10-year Treasury show that they bumped up against 2.4% at the beginning of July and came back down, bumped up against it at the end of April and came back down. If it can stay up above this, that seems to be a little ceiling of resistance.
This is going to be interesting to watch. That, like you said, if they move beyond this and stay above the 2.4 yield, it's going to be significant. So it pushed your 30-year mortgage fixed to 3.95%. A week ago, we were at 3.89%. So, you know, we're not far from crossing that 4% barrier again. It's been a little while since we were there.
Well, look, if you're wanting to refi, jump on it. But I'm only going to weep so much for these rising rates because this is what a normal economy looks like.
Hey, I'm not complaining about it going up because we're still 2.4. Too low. We need 2.8 would make me happier because we're close to 3, and 3 doesn't get it done, does it, James?
No, not by historic standards. It needs to be hovering around 4, 5 maybe.
Yeah.
It's a little on the high end, but that
had
range
somebody
is what we're looking for.
In a meeting, they told me, oh, we're not getting a rate hike in December. I said, we can agree to disagree. And we disagreed on a couple of things. I need to talk about that gold story after the commercial.
We'll talk about gold now. Look what it did.
But crude oil, $52.14 a barrel. So it's like in this $50 range for a while. So this is very interesting as well because it used to like live in the 45 to 48 range.
Kiss it. It's going south and it's going to go south soon. Did you hear about the lease sale?
Yeah, because it got opened back up. I was going to bring that up earlier, but let's finish. $52.44 on crude, gold, $1,276.50. Silver, $16 and $9. It's done. Came below $17. Very interesting. But go back to the lease sale. This is important.
The outer continental shelf of the Gulf, all of it is being opened up. We're talking 70 million acres, I think it was.
Because some previous president had put a, don't sell anymore.
He put a moratorium, don't drill anymore. And then when he undid it, he did it just for the more shallow drilling, not the deep water. So an area that's about the size of New Mexico just got opened up. And it has about 3-4 billion barrels of oil, 14 trillion square feet of cubic square feet of natural gas.
There's some black gold out there.
Well, and then some ephemerate gas gold as well. 504-260-0995. We have a gold story coming up. I'm James Parker. It's Winning It Live with Gregory Ricks on iHeartRadio.
Gregory Ricks here. I enjoy fast cars, so I go to NOLA Motorsports Park in Avondale. They have a fun go-kart track, racing school, a 2.7-mile race course. And yeah, there's crazy guys on motorcycles. Hang off a bike, scrape some knees in the turns. I can't recommend it enough. NOLA Motorsports Park. Adrenaline fun. See what they're all about at NOLAMotor.com.
Winning at Life invites you to our Women and Wealth event, Thursday, November 2nd, Ruth's Chris Steakhouse in Metairie. This women's-only event will include a unique dining experience of wine tasting paired with the presented Ruth's Chris menu. In addition to this educational food and wine experience, you will also meet the Total Wealth Authority, the team to handle all your retirement needs. Reserve your seat today, 504-832-9200, the Gregory Ricks and Associates app, or GregoryRicks.com.
Caroline or Change opens this weekend at the Westwego Performing Arts Theater. The story is set in Lake Charles, Louisiana, 1963. And it's cool to see a story about our area that becomes a Broadway hit in 2004. Caroline or Change, Friday and Saturday at 7:30, Sunday at 2. For tickets, call 504-885-2000, the JPAS app or jpas.org.
If you've got a financial situation and you're not quite sure what to do, you better call Gregory.
You need to have an investment philosophy to go by for it to consistently win over the long term and not do it by the seat of your pants. The market can make you a lot of money and the market can take it away. Be careful.
Gregory Ricks & Associates, a registered investment advisory firm. Find us at GregoryRicks.com, the Gregory Ricks & Associates app, and 504-832-9200.
The Ricks Report with Gregory Ricks.
I have two IRAs. Do I have to take a minimum required distribution from each one, or can I treat it as though it's a lump sum and take it from one or the other?
You can take it from whichever account you want as long as you take the correct amount of the aggregate, all accounts together, because on line, I'm not sure the number, it's on the first page of the 1040, all they want to know is the amount you took out of your IRAs. And he said at minimum required distribution, but the IRS code says required minimum distributions. They don't ask which account, what account number, did you take from them all? Just the number. Did you take out enough?
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. Weeknights at 7, Saturday morning at 10 on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
Find me at GregoryRicks.com, the Gregory Ricks & Associates app, or 504-832-9200.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
Lululemon was all three. Yeah, we're just kind of going through the daily list of our numbers segment. This is Winning at Life, the daily wrap. I'm your host, Gregory Ricks, along with James Parker. It is live. That's right. Live Financial Talk Radio.
Can I clear up someone in Periscope? Yes, this is a normal show. On the commercial breaks, yeah, we're still talking, but you hear the commercials as well. That's why you heard a whole bunch of people talking, but you only see two people in here. Right. So it's...
Yeah, we go on commercial breaks, but we just keep going kind of at times, don't we? I forget, and you and I, and then sometimes when I bring you back, I try to catch you up to what happened during the commercial break, and I'm like running over, what's it, Roku off 2.95, Fizz is off again, Netflix is up, sweet, Lululemon's off, UA's off, this is Winning at Life. If you want to participate in the show, just like Bruce is doing, 504, I'm going to give you the number. That was the first three. I'll do it again. 504-260-0995.
All right, let's talk to this Bruce fella, Bruce Westwego. You're next up on Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks. How can we help you, Bruce?
Hey, Greg, I just wanted to tell you how appreciative I was of your free analysis, retirement analysis obtained today from Nick. I'm happy to say that the man was upfront and honest with me. No high pressure sales. He did strictly an analysis, looked at my situation, advised me I was properly invested right now going into my retirement next month, and it made me as happy as can be.
Well, awesome. I'm glad you had a great experience. That's what we really want to accomplish. And we're going to tell you the truth. If it's all good news, it's good. If it's bad, we're bad. If we can't fix it, we can't fix it. It's always going to be the truth. And you hear this. Hopefully you do. The numbers do not lie. It's mathematical financial planning. The numbers do not lie, Bruce.
How pumped are you about retirement, Bruce?
I'm retiring next month.
Yeah, but how pumped are you about it to know that it's almost over?
I've been in law enforcement for 30 years, and I'm thrilled to death.
Awesome. Thank you for your service, Bruce, in law enforcement. We appreciate everything you've done.
Did you have a question, or are you just calling in and being nice?
I'm just calling in and being nice and thanking him and telling everybody if they got any doubts, contact this man. He's giving a great service to you.
Bruce, thank you very much.
Very much. Yep. Unsolicited recommendation, because we can't replay that, or we have compliance, and there was no deal in getting Bruce to call in, and I didn't even speak to him today, and Bruce could have said that because he dealt with Nicholas, one of my advisors on the team, and Nicholas is awesome, but if you want to come into the office, go explore our website, Gregory Ricks.
Amazon.com.
All right, tell your gold story because I want to tell Amazon HQ2 updates.
Okay, we can get both in at this point. But I had a family come in today, and I told you about a story like 2 weeks ago where somebody came in talking about their gold and they're up in age and things are slowing down for them. And they're holding a bunch of gold, and my thoughts and discussion with them is you might want to start moving out of the gold because you're going to need this money. And today's discussion was kind of an annual review, which we do with Fred every year and his wife,
air quotes,
Sandra.
Fred. Air quotes.
Yeah. And that's not real names, and I wouldn't give that out anyhow. But I can tell you the story about the actual meeting is they come in every year and review. And he felt more of an emphasis of wanting to cover the numbers to make sure his wife understood where he was. And they've got a kind of 50-50 balance between fixed indexed annuities, which guarantees income over time with income riders. And he does have managed money as well. He has money in the market that's doing really well also. But he does have this in the middle was this batch of gold of about $90,000. And he wanted, and he said, you know, looking over that, because one of the reasons we're here, and we were already in the meeting and reviewed some numbers, and he said, I just wanted to make sure Sandra understands where we're at, that she's going to be well taken care of. And I said, you know, everything's looking good, but I do have this one question. And I said, if you don't mind, I'm going to ask Sandra and let her answer this. And I said, if something happened to Fred, what would you do with this gold? She said, I'd like to sell it. But, and I said, how would you go about doing it? She says, I have no idea how I would go about it. And I said, that is the common theme. And then what, the meeting a few weeks ago, what I realized is those people need help with that, but we actually can't do it because here's one of the thing is what if her kid came up and we'll call this Ellen a couple weeks ago. She's like, yeah, I'm needing, and you can tell she needs help and it's in a safety deposit box and it's a lot of coins and you know, it's probably worth $100,000. So how she's going to get that and take it to the gold store and get it valued and sell it. And she's not quite up to speed on what all she actually has in that box. So my question to Fred was, when being Sandra didn't know how to do that, I said, that is something you might want to address if you're thinking you're moving on before Sandra, because she doesn't know what to do with the gold, what the value of it is, where to go, what is it really worth, and how to judge is somebody helping her, because I cannot do that. As much as I want to, because all somebody could easily say, yeah, you know, you were there and you're in the deposit room, a couple of coins would have just slipped into your pocket. And that would never happen with me, but I cannot be in that situation. So that's something you have to think about in your family going forward where you've got this, oh, I've got me some gold. Okay, as things change over time, what are you going to do with it? And how are your survivors going to handle it and make sure they get their value? It's cool. Oh, it's for doomsday. You know, if things go bad, that's why I have it. But if you're leaving it behind, how is that going to be handled? I can't answer that for you. You're needing to answer it.
Yeah, and if I had that going on in my situation, all right, so I just left Miss Parker with this situation. You know what she's going to do? As soon as I pass away and she gets all this accounting of what we have, she's going to look at the gold, and she's going to have to Google it and start from scratch. I mean, obviously, she'd call you, Gregory, but...
Yeah, where to go, how much do I get, who can help me, and it's heavy.
Man, I kind of want to have a big pile of gold coins just to see how heavy it is.
Just deal with it before you move on, before Ms. Parker.
Well, Luckily, I'm ahead of you, Gregory, and I don't own any gold. I don't.
Oh, you've already dealt with it.
This is my only piece of jewelry, and if I wasn't legally required to do so, I wouldn't wear it. It's my wedding ring.
Okay, so who's up next?
Amazon. This is pretty cool because you can't bet legally in America on most things, and there's some exceptions that are carved out. And
well, there's the on stock the coast. Market. There's
true.
Options.
All right. You can't bet on non-approved, non-financial tools.
Okay.
Except for Vegas and the Gulf Coast and this little Harrah's boondoggle you have downtown.
Chicago and Wall Street.
But they used to have Intrade, which was just people buying contracts. It turned out to be bets, but saying, I think this is going to happen. I think so-and-so is going to win the Super Bowl. Well, that got shut down. So the real betting hub of the world is this site in Ireland. And one of the bets they have going on right now is, where will Amazon build their second headquarters? First things first.
I already know where you're going. But go ahead for the listeners.
First things first, there's no such thing as a second headquarters. You can only have one command center. Your bosses and board of directors can only be in one place. They're not looking for a second HQ.
They're looking for number one.
Yes, they're looking for a new HQ.
Yeah, I know. That was sweet wording they put out. Oh, a second.
Yeah,
really?
Another big campus. We're not abandoning Seattle, we wouldn't do that. Number one on the list is Atlanta.
Number one is Atlanta.
For all the people around the world who put their own hard-earned money on the table on the bet, Atlanta is
How
getting the most.
How much land does Bezos own there in Georgia?
Oh, because you're talking about he owns 500,000 or 5,000 acres or whatever in Texas, or 500,000 acres or whatever it is in Texas. Hang on, we'll get to that rundown in
but
just a second.
But you don't have an answer in Georgia? Does he own land in Georgia?
I don't know if he owns anything in Georgia. The second highest vote getter is Austin, 3-1. And then there's Boston, Toronto, Pittsburgh, Dallas, Washington, San Jose. Now, I was surprised at first Toronto is number 5, but then again, corporate inversion, Gregory. There's a reason Burger
King
went up there.
Chicago? Is it on the list?
No. Why would Chicago be on the list?
I think there's two choices. It's called Austin or Dallas. And he owns 500-plus acres in Texas. And more.
All right. Well, we'll continue this discussion. In the meantime, you're home away from the show, GregoryRicks.com and the Gregory Ricks & Associates app. Go find us on Facebook where we put up some fun videos. You can see Miss Parker slamming a champagne flute. I'm James Parker. This has been Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks on iHeartRadio.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks is copyrighted by Gregory Ricks for the private use of our audience. Any unauthorized use of this broadcast without express consent by Gregory Ricks is prohibited.
Thank you for tuning in to Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks. If you need to contact the office, find our next live event, listen to the show live or on demand, remember the Gregory Ricks and Associates app.